Hello, everyone. This is Dave Burdett, news editor at Foresight Health. Welcome to Foresight Health's How Healthcare Revolutionaries Think podcast, where we get inside the heads of people trying to fix the healthcare system. Our guest on today's show is Swathi Matai. Matai is co-founder and CEO of XO Health. XO Health is a platform company that uses data and advanced analytics to help self-insured employers design simplified and personalized health benefits for their employees. Now, that's saying something during the dreaded open enrollment season in which we find ourselves. I interviewed Matai as part of our How Healthcare Revolutionaries Think series. I spoke with her about how the business of healthcare defies basic laws of economics and how rowing a scull and flying a plane have helped her do what she's doing now.
Hello, Swathi.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
We're happy to tell your story.
No, I'm excited for the opportunity.
Let's ask you about your undergraduate degree in biology. I remember my high school, well, my grade school biology, we dissected frogs. And then in high school, we dissected fetal pigs that came in a 5-gallon thing of formaldehyde. So that's the end of my biology. But I'm just curious, where did that interest come from? Did your parents want you to be a doctor? You know, that's what my parents wanted me to be a doctor. And when I told my mom I was going to be a journalist, she actually cried.
Yeah. Well, look, my mother's a doctor. My sister's a doctor. Oh, okay. My uncle's a doctor.
Okay.
Like, so yes, that was absolutely the path. I ended up taking, you know, a couple of years to do a public health degree. Then I was going to go back and go to medical school.
Okay.
But I took a course I ended up majoring in health management and finance. Mm-hmm. And that just changed my perspective on all of it. I really like the business of healthcare. I've just found fascinating always, mm-hmm. right? Because it defies the laws of economics. It defies anything that you'd expect in any other good or service that is bought or sold. Mm-hmm. So that has always sort of fascinated me. I joke, because my dad's an economist, so I joke that I've like wound up right in the middle of like my physician mother and my economist dad.
Those are some interesting conversations, right?
Yes, no lack of good conversation.
Well, who, your mom or dad, is more critical of the healthcare system in that it defies the laws of economics?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't know that I've thought about that before, but probably my mother. I mean, she's in the mental health space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before there was mental health parity, and even afterwards, that has been so, so underserved,
yeah,
as a category of care.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a solo practitioner, always has been. You know, it's harder and harder to maintain that,
mm-hmm.
frankly. So I think I would have to say it was her who, you know, because she just has lived it every day.
Right. And when you say defy the laws of economics, you're talking about things like, you know, in other industries, two companies consolidate and maybe prices go down and quality goes up, but maybe that doesn't happen in healthcare. Or is it because of you have this, you know, the payer industry in between the provider and the consumer? I mean, give me a couple examples where it does defy the laws of normal, like supply and demand kind of things.
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. So supply and demand economic principles rely on like an exchange of information, right? And mm-hmm. an exchange of value.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I talk about that a lot, is that the unit of value has to be different in healthcare. It has to be the outcome, not just the service.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in the absence of information and in the absence of accountability, right, the feedback loop that doesn't exist, right? So if you go to have a medical service and it doesn't deliver what it should have,
right,
or could have, nothing changes. That person continues to deliver care and people continue to go to them.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Right. They don't get, so there's no flywheel.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever read a book called The Platform Revolution.
I heard of it. I have not read it.
They basically talk about, you know, these multi-sided platforms that allow many users to exchange value, right? And the point of that should be to create value for everybody. So like if you think of Uber, if there's a scarcity of Uber drivers, the rates go up, And then less people may want to ride because the price goes up. So then, then there's less demand. So then the supply increases and the price goes down. And then more people jump on and get a ride. And that, like, yin yang is a continuous loop, right? And then you can start to figure out, like, trends. Okay. You can know that, gee, I better make sure I have enough drivers to operate at certain times, right? Or et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that process does not exist.
Right. Yeah. No, we joke about the waiting times here outside of Chicago to see a medical specialist, even for a routine exam. You know, I waited 9 months to see a dermatologist in my network just for a basic exam, right? So if you're right, then the fact that so many people want dermatology services, you'd think that we'd crank out more dermatologists, right?
Now, look, there's other structural factors, right? Like medical school education and the cost of that, and legal reforms and all the things that are needed. But there's just basic things that don't, you know, that don't occur. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no consequence to, if you wait. I mean, I've walked out of a waiting room after an hour because it's like, I have a life too. I'm sorry, your life got crazy.
Right.
And everyone understands when emergencies happen, but when you see disorganization, I mean, think of how many times you go to a provider and it's completely disorganized.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, and you have no, like, you're, there's no outcome because you could skip that appointment, but then it could be 3 months before you get another one.
Right. Right. Somebody just slides right into it.
So it's not an equal, like, it's not an equal exchange, right, of value for whatever you it costs you, whether it costs you time or money or pain.
Yeah, it really is interesting because in another situation, it was a long wait and then you can get on a waiting list. Okay. To see, I'm just going to say neurologist. Right. And then what happened is you get a text that says, hey, we have a spot open. You have 1 hour to contact us or you lose your spot. And it felt more like some sort of game show, right? And by the time I had seen the text, you know, my opportunity to jump the line had passed,
right?
So it's like it puts patients who need to see doctors in competition with one another.
Right.
And plus, you know, I had a phone. I happened not to have it with me. But what if you didn't have a phone? And the only way you could jump the line is if you had a phone, right?
Yeah. No, there's so many of those types of things. I completely agree with you. But that's where there's no transparency, right? Like, if you, like, you can go and control your own destiny in just about every other interaction we have in our lives, right? You can, you can even book an appointment to the DMV
now. Right. Right.
Right. So you don't have to go and spend all afternoon and you're number four and it's number, you know, like you're number 500 and there's number four on the screen. Like, think of how much time you've wasted in your life. So even the DMV has found a way to make it easier on us. But the whatever healthcare industrial complex has yet to figure that out. And it's because they're not incentivized to, but they're not disincentivized either.
All right. I did read that you were on your rowing team in college and you have your pilot's license. That's a great combo. I have neither. And I'm just curious what those taught you and whatever lessons those are and how you're applying some of those lessons today. Was one more applicable to healthcare than the other or something about competition, challenges, seeing the world differently? I'm just curious.
Yeah, you ask very interesting questions, Dave. No, the rowing team, I think, look, I always enjoyed the team aspect of that. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, there are lots of people that row in college and then they do their own like single rowing, individual rowing afterwards. But that was never what I liked about it. I mean, it's nice and serene to be on the water. But what I liked was when you're all rowing really, really hard, you move with a different power together when you're totally in sync. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably a version of what I'm talking about, right?
Like, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do good for everybody. And that's going to yield more and be more sustainable in general. So that's sort of probably one of the biggest things about rowing that I loved.
Did you go see that movie? My wife and I went to see it where it was like the University of Washington.
Yeah.
Rowing team.
It was like a great movie.
Set in the 30s. Boys in the Boat. Yep. Did you see that?
I did. I've read the book. I've seen the movie.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
Did that capture kind of this
Absolutely.
Idea that, you know, once you get in sync like that, you become really one person, right? Yeah.
Think of them, right? That's Moneyball again, right? You have the right set of things that come together and then they work in that particular configuration. Yeah. So like you've optimized there.
Right.
The pilot's license, maybe like the only lesson I could think of there is, you know, so I have my instrument rating and in instrument flight, like it's a lot of small changes. The instrument is all about like you need to be where they tell you you're going to be.
Right.
So if they say to stay at this altitude, stay at this speed, stay at this, you know, direction, like you have to know how to do that. And usually it's a lot of small changes to stay level, to stay, et cetera. So I think healthcare, I mean, if you were to see the list of things that we've tried to optimize for, it's a huge list. There are a bunch of small things that are so easy to fix and make it better for everyone. There's stuff that's legitimately hard, but there's lots of small things that we can do day to day that make it better. And that's sort of the, like in my role on the payer side, I was managing, you know, a really large book of business. And so you saw a lot of the problems, like it was your problem to fix the problem. Mm-hmm. And so you just saw a lot of things that you could not figure out why we did it this way.
Right.
And most of those things were small fixes that made big impact.
Yeah. So, and maybe it's just because they always were done that way.
Exactly.
Right? That's what people say. Yeah. Right.
And it's, you know, look, these are highly tenured businesses, right? People have been in the business for a long time. And then it's, when people do jobs, it's like, well, gosh, well, what's Dave going to do if we don't do that anymore?
Right. Yeah. That's how people think. Yeah.
I get it.
It's true.
I get it.
Yeah.
But
maybe that instrumentation thing has to do with trusting the data too, right? Because you made a point earlier about,
it does,
you know, you got to look at the numbers.
You got to.
And when you're in the cockpit like that, it's your instinct or what you think versus what the numbers are telling you, right? And you almost have to push yourself down or, you know, I don't know what the right word is, but you have to trust the data, right?
You have to, right? Because actually it's the only thing you can trust because you have no points of reference visually. Right. You'd be amazed at how quickly and easy it is to get disoriented and off course. So, the data is your friend.
No, do you still fly?
Oh, I'm, you know, started a company, so that's been a little consuming.
Yeah. But okay.
I will get back to it. I'm sure I miss it. I do love it. If I'd started at a younger age, I probably would have been a pilot. So.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Like I said, we want people to get to know you and why you do what you do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, this was, I enjoyed it.
Okay, great. Well, very nice to meet you.
Likewise.
If you'd like to learn more about how Swathi Mittai thinks, please read our Q&A with her on foresighthealth.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Burda for Foresight Health.